Good evening. My name is Valerie Newsom. I am a postdoctoral fellow at the National Development and Research Institutes in New York City. I'm going to be presenting data from my dissertation that I earned at Penn State just a few months ago. And the title of this presentation is Shades of Black, and it's investigating within-group differences in African-American women's HIV risk behavior. And I came up with this title for the presentation, Shades of Black, because I find that a lot of the published research on African-American women's risk behaviors are focused mostly on low-income women and understanding the context of their risk. And I think that women who are not of that group, who are African-Americans, get lost. And also, when they're not spoken about in the research and in prevention efforts, tend to have a false sense of security when it comes to HIV. So I felt it important to look at this group and talk about what's going on specifically with, in this study, college-educated African-American women and what different structural and contextual issues are impacting their HIV risk behavior. Okay. So I have no disclosures to present. So just as a little bit of background, if you look on this chart, this is from the CDC. I'm going to start with the pie chart on the right. Pay particular attention to the pink slice of the pie. That is showing that African-American women comprise 12% of the female population in the United States. Now, if we bring your attention to the pie on the left, again in the pink, we see that African-American women constitute 46% of the HIV infections among women. So we see very clearly that that's a disparity, right? Did I do that differently? Sorry. Yes, that's correct. Okay. I'm sorry. I hate when people go back and forth on slides. Please forgive me. It is so confusing. So just to give a little more background, HIV/AIDS is currently the leading cause of death for African-American women between the ages of 25 to 34, and women of this age group are the focus of my study, and I'll talk about why that age group is important in a moment besides the fact that this is their leading cause of death. Heterosexual contact accounts for 88% of HIV transmission in this group, so we're not talking about IV drug use or homosexual contact. This is heterosexual transmission, and for this reason, I felt it important to look at the sexual networks of African Americans and how this may be driving some of this heterosexual risk, and also to look at the relationships going on in the African-American population, to look at what's going on in these heterosexual relationships that may be driving these risk factors. So what we do know about African-Americans is that we have a huge gender ratio imbalance. And again, gender ratio imbalance is, for me to say huge, it's relative. But we often hear about African-American women saying that there's a shortage of available black men, right? So there are less than 100 men available for every 100 women in a gender ratio imbalance. And for African-Americans, our ratio is at 90.1 males for every 100. And as you see at the bottom bullet on the slide, it's been reported that African-Americans have the worst gender ratio imbalance experience since the beginning of the census. So what I wanted to do then was to look at how this shortage of available African-American men factors into the sexual networks that are going on in the African-American community and perhaps influencing some of the psychological psychological processes that take place when we're talking about negotiating risk for African-American women. So again, I wanted to look specifically at college-educated African-American women because while this gender ratio imbalance exists generally in African-American population, we find that it's most acute for those women who are college-educated. So where we have African-American men being in short supply due to incarceration, there are even fewer African-American men who make it onto college, right? So these college-educated women are looking, for the most part, for partners, black male partners who are also college-educated. So that racial imbalance that we saw from 90.1 to 100 gets even more drastically reduced. That sexual network becomes smaller than for the African-American women who are college-educated. And this is just one more graph. If you pay attention then to the light blue, excuse me, the light blue bars are showing African American women. On the bottom half of the graph, we're looking at women specifically, and this shows that 41.8% of African American women have not been married by the age of 35, as compared to non-Hispanic whites and Hispanics, and we see that that's a huge gap, right? So I show this slide to kind of just reiterate the point that these women are looking for partners. They're finding it hard to identify them. And this is why the age group of 25 to 34 was important to me, because that's the time where, for the most part, these women are really, really hustling to find these partners, and they're in short supply, right? So that's that. All right. So the purpose of this study, we had a few things that we wanted to look at. Were to first develop a scale to evaluate women's perceptions of male partner availability, to use specifically with college-educated African-American women. This scale did not exist because, as I said, this group isn't usually looked at, so I had to come up with one. And so I'll go over that in a moment, and we ended up naming this scale the Perceived Partner Availability Scale. Also, we wanted to examine the relationship between perceived partner availability and safer sex communication for African-American women who are college-educated. Also, to identify variables that may predict non-condom use in unmarried African-American college-educated women between the ages of 25 to 34, and also to present some context for the decision-making of these women around non-condom use. What's going on psychologically? What are some of these other sociological drivers that may be lost when we're talking about risk? It's not just about I'm making a health decision. We're also talking about balancing emotional needs and milestone needs, these types of things. All right. So the method was, this study was two-part. We did a pilot study, which I presented elsewhere. And if you're interested in that information, I can make my email address available to you. I think that that was some of the most interesting work because we did focus group studies to talk about what women were experiencing, and all of that information went into developing a survey and also the questions that were used for the perceived partner availability scale. But this part that I'm going to present today is specifically on the quantitative piece, where we used a nationwide internet-based survey. It took about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. We recruited women using Facebook, so we essentially had a link in an email, and we asked women who were African American, you know, meeting the recruitment, meeting the inclusion criteria as listed, to also share this link with their friends. And over the course of 2 weeks, we had about 400 something responses, which, as I understand it, is almost unheard of, right? So I was pretty excited. But we ended up being able to use 262 of those because if a woman indicated that she was not sexually active, if she was celibate at the time, the survey ended for her. And the incentive to participate was that at the end of the survey, the women could elect to provide their email addresses and they would be entered in a lottery to win a $100 Amazon gift card. All right. So the data analysis portion, we used SPSS for data analysis, and we ran factor analysis for the scale. Also, we did Pearson correlations, which I'll present, looking at the scores on the scale and their responses to questions about communicating with their partners about safer sex and condom use. And also, we used hierarchical logistic regression to identify some variables that may predict for non-condom use. The measures that we used, the survey instrument was based on the original evaluation instrument used for SISTA. And you may be familiar with SISTA, Sisters Informing Sisters About Topics on AIDS. This is Wingood and DiClemente's Debbie program that's been widely used, but it was primarily designed for low-income African-American women, so then we had to adapt it for the population that we were targeting. And then the perceived partner availability scale, or the survey instrument. So just to give a little bit of background on our participants, there was an HIV knowledge scale that was part of this survey. Excuse me. The maximum score possible was 13. And there were some women who who reached the maximum score, but the mean score was 11.64, which was still pretty high. So this lets us know that the women who were taking this survey were pretty knowledgeable of how HIV can be transmitted. And these are the questions that were on the perceived partner availability scale. We started out with about 7 questions, and after doing factor analysis, we ended up with these 4. And these were Likert scale response items. Our reliability for this scale, was 0.71, which is pretty good given that it's a first generation scale. So that's that. Oh, and the items numbers 1 and 3 were reverse coded. So a high score on this scale indicated high agreement with essentially African American male partners are hard to find. Okay. And the mean score on this scale was 3.51, and that's from 1 to 5. Okay. So these are the correlations that we found with between your score on the perceived partner availability scale and the questions addressing communication with your partner about condom use. So you'll see the questions are listed out there. And what we see, I've only listed those that were statistically significant, so everything you see here is significant. The first question, do you or did you feel hesitant about discussing using condoms with your most recent sex partner? So women who answered yes on this question were more likely to have a higher scale score on the perceived partner availability scale. So that essentially means if you feel that it's difficult to find a black male partner, you felt more hesitant about discussing condoms with your partner. Number 2, have you ever insisted or demanded that your partner use a condom when he didn't want to? And women who answered yes on this were also more likely to have higher scores on the perceived partner availability scale. So that was a little bit surprising. But if we go back and look at how this question was worded, the question is, have you ever insisted? So basically that's saying they may have insisted at some point, right, but perhaps not always. And then also, if we go back to, I'll just reference the pilot study, where we did the qualitative work, we found a lot of responses that indicated that women in this group had a lot of agency around advocating for themselves and their health and things like that. They were outspoken. So if we put those things together, it may not be surprising then that they would have at some point insisted or demanded that their partner use a condom, even though they also had high scale scores on the perceived partner availability scale. Okay, so 3, how often have you been afraid to talk to your most recent sex partner about using condoms because you were afraid he would have sex with a woman that does not demand using condoms? A higher response on this item indicating more fear about this issue correlated with a higher scale score, which was then not surprising to us. And then the next was, have you been afraid to talk to him about this because he would threaten to leave you? Again, these two were correlated. The higher score here also correlated with the higher scale score. And then there were 3 more. How often have you been afraid to talk to your partner about him having other sex partners because you were afraid he would, one, ignore your request to talk? These were correlated in the same direction. How often have you been afraid to talk to your most recent sex partner about him having other sex partners because you were afraid he would threaten to leave you? Correlated in the same direction. And how often have you been afraid to talk to your most recent sex partner about him having other sex partners because you were afraid he would actually leave you? Again, this question was correlated in the same direction with perceived partner availability scale. So the next part of our analysis was to see if there were any variables that would predict for non-condom use. The question that we looked at was condom use at last sexual experience. So did you use a condom the last time that you had sex? And this question is frequently used to assess for condom use in these types of studies. So this was a hierarchical logistic regression. So in our first block, we just put a few demographic variables to see if anything played out there. We had a small age group from 25 to 34, so we wanted to see if perhaps as women got older, if this played out anyway, and whether or not they used the condom. We didn't see anything there.
And if you look, actually I did a pretty poor job of highlighting here what was statistically significant, but I can tell you very easily the only variable in this entire model that showed any significance was relationship type. So if a woman was not in a relationship or in a sexual relationship that was uncommitted, that was one group, and if she was in a committed relationship, that was the other group. And what we found here was that women who were in committed relationships were 3.4 times less likely to have used a condom the last time they had sex, which, according to the literature, isn't surprising. We find that people who are in committed relationships are less likely to use condoms consistently. And I'll talk a moment about why this is still a concern, though, for this group. Okay. So from this study, perceived partner availability scale shows some promise when we look at the correlations that we found with the communication with partners about condom use, right? It's a first generation scale, so some additional development is needed, but I think that this shows some promise for maybe looking at this phenomenon in future studies. Also, we see that a relationship may exist between perceptions of a low availability of potential male partners in the African American community and women's communication with them about sexual risk. So I have a few ideas about how I'd like to move forward and look at this, and I'm interested in what you may also think about how this all works together potentially. And again, relationship type was the only statistically significant predictor for condom use. But I do feel like this study certainly fills a gap in the literature. When I was doing my literature review for my dissertation, I had a difficult time finding much on this topic. So I certainly do believe that this fills a gap. It looks at college-educated women, and to my understanding, this study is the first of its kind to look at this quantitatively. All of the other studies that I found were qualitative studies. Most of them were in college-age women, not women that were 25 to 34, who, again, just to reiterate the point, HIV is their leading cause of death, so it's something that we need to be looking at in this group. Some limitations of this study are that we were talking about sensitive topics, so there may have been some self-selection issues here where women who weren't comfortable talking about these issues opted to not take the survey at all or didn't complete the survey. Also, we didn't include a question specifically addressing women's perceptions of how their partners felt about condoms. And I think that if we asked that specifically, we may have been able to draw a little more from the survey. And again, this is self-report data, and we can't always count on the accuracy of that, right? So some implications for future HIV research. I think that future efforts aimed at this group should personalize their additional risk and highlight to them the specific concern for their group because their sexual network differs from that of other racial groups. We know that African-American women don't necessarily have riskier behaviors, but their sexual network is riskier by nature of the fact that it's smaller. When you have a smaller sexual network, diseases spread more quickly, right? So to kind of bring women's attention to that fact so that they can factor that into their decision-making. Also, to make African-American college-age women aware of the fact that even though you may be at a higher SES level, that does not necessarily pull you out of this pool of African-Americans who are having sex. And so your risk is heightened just by virtue of the fact that you are in this pool. We know that African Americans are less likely than any other racial group to date outside of their race, so this is a very concentrated sexual network. But what we also want to do, going back to the fact that these women who were in committed relationships were less likely to use condoms, we need to find strategies that will reduce their risk while not undermining the trust that they've been able to develop in their relationships. Because if you haven't been using protection all this time and all of a sudden you come in talking about, I want to use condoms, that can raise some red flags and suggest distrust, right, or mistrust. Also, prevention campaigns that promote regular HIV testing for couples, I think that would be a good suggestion in that at least if you find out earlier that you have the virus, then you can prevent any further spread. Also, it kind of gives a notion of accountability, right? We get tested regularly. We know in 6 months or a year we're going to go together to get tested as partners, and if something comes up different this time, then there's a discussion to be had, and not just having a situation where we're in this relationship, so it goes without saying we don't need protection or we don't need to be concerned about HIV, right? Developing interventions and prevention messages that encourage male partner support for condom use, I think, is very important. While the focus of my research is college-educated African-American women, because I feel that they are missing in the discussion in HIV, another group that is certainly missing is heterosexual black males. We see a lot on black MSM related to HIV, but very, very little on heterosexual men. And we don't want to further burden our women. We talk about this often, where women bear the burden of sexual risk and things like that. But bringing them into the conversation is a suggestion. Also, culturally sensitive interventions that raise awareness about risks associated with man sharing among African Americans is very important. This is something that came up more frequently in our qualitative piece that talks about suspecting or knowing even that your male partner has other partners, but staying in the relationship or continuing to have sex with them. This increases risk. Concurrent partnerships, we know, spread HIV more quickly. And also community-oriented and gender-sensitive prevention messaging. All right, so that concludes my presentation. I just, if I may, one of our panelists is missing, so I'm sorry I took a little liberty with a little extra time. I just want to thank the National Development and Research Institute and the Department of Biobehavioral Health at Penn State, and also my funding sources, the Africana Research Center at Penn State, the Ford Endowment, and the Bunton Waller Graduate Award. So that is it for me. Thank you.